listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I don't know what to say, folks. I don't know where you heard. I don't know where you lost. I'm really kind of befuddled because I thought I made a really strong point, and this is driving me crazy. All right, folks. Supposedly you can hear now, and I don't know where to begin. You know what? Call. Give us a call, 888-488-MARK. Tell me what you heard. Tell me what you didn't hear so I know what to tell you. 888-488-6275. Where do I begin? I was just working up a whole discussion here, and, you know, it's kind of like our war in Iraq, I guess. Just when you think you know what you're doing, do I start over? Where do I begin? Where do we end? Well, I was discussing what's going on in Iraq. I don't know where you lost me. I guess I'll just repeat what I said at the beginning. Let's start over. The war in Iraq. They say that the only way to cure a disease is to first admit there is a disease. And only then can you find the way to a cure. Well, by that standard, we are starting finally to find a cure in Iraq, because we're finally going from a country that has long admitted denial, long claimed that there was nothing going on, long claimed there was progress and we knew it wasn't there. And well, now at least we're discussing the way out of Iraq rather than trying to pretend that the country is not in a civil war. What is going on in Iraq? Well, we have, of course, the Shiites and the Sunnis in their civil war. The government that we're supporting is part of the Shiites, the Shiite militia that we are aiding, going around killing Sunnis. The Sunnis, supported by Al-Qaeda, the Shiites, supported by Iran, America's two greatest enemies, are doing quite well. Thank you very much. What is the way out of Iraq? Let me go to Sarge on the line. Sarge, I don't even know where you lost me, I'll tell you. I was, you know, it seems to me when I get my most creative and passionate, the feed goes out. It's very frustrating.
Well, we didn't hear anything, really.
No way.
Getting started. So.
For 15 minutes, I railed on my best show ever, and nobody heard it. I can't tell you how much that frustrates me. It's like I don't even I want to just find a tape and replay it.
That's too well. Maybe it's on the archive, you know.
I sure hope so. Well, I'll just try to start from the beginning then, Sarge. Thanks for letting me know. It's very frustrating.
All right.
I just
thought you might. I knew you wouldn't like it, but I thought you'd like to know anyway.
You know, it's just like the war in Iraq. Better to know the truth and deal with it than to pretend the lie.
Well, yeah. So, and you know what? This war in Iraq, I guess it's kind of fitting that the thing went out because that's just about what we're hearing on it. You know, nothing. We're not hearing hardly any of the truth of what's going on. And when you get to the point where a news network says, I think we're going to start calling it a civil war. It's been a civil war for over a year.
Yeah. So it's getting worse and worse. Yeah. Well, let me just try to start over then, and I'll start
I'll
from the beginning.
Go.
And thanks for calling in, Sarge.
You're welcome, man.
As I was saying, God, how do you make jokes about such things? The war in Iraq is a civil war. Even NBC has admitted it to be a civil war. The government in charge, which I can put in quotes, is not really a government at all. In fact, it doesn't even control its capital city, doesn't even control Baghdad. It is merely one part of Shiite militias that are going around massacring Sunnis. Oh, but don't leave the Sunnis out. They're going around and they're massacring the Shiites. You know, if you remember back to the Iran-Iraq War of 1982, you really shouldn't be surprised. Today at the Baghdad morgue, do you know how they tell the difference between Shiites and Sunnis? It's really not that difficult. The Shiites are the ones that are beheaded. The Sunnis are the ones killed with power drills. And I don't know why this barbarity should surprise anybody. Back in 1982, if anyone in America remembers, there was a vicious, all-out fight to the death between the Sunni army of Iraq and the Shiite army of Iran. More than 1 million people died in that brutal conflict. All kinds of old chemical weapons were borne out. They brought back the mustard gas of World War I. Tens of thousands of Kurds were brutally killed by Saddam Hussein. But, you know, people never put that into context. They make it sound like Saddam Hussein just went out and decided to gas the Kurds. No, this was in the context of a larger war, where, if you will, even more brutal and awful things were going on. But there was one good thing that happened in 1982. It's kind of hard to think of any good thing that happens in a brutal, barbaric war where more than 1 million people died. But I'll tell you, there was a really good thing, at least for America, in 1982. We didn't take sides. Not a single American was killed in the Iran-Iraq War. Oh, it's not like our government didn't try. Ronald Reagan, if you recall, sent Don Rumsfeld to shake the hand of Saddam Hussein. We helped him for a while. And then when we wanted hostages freed in Lebanon, where the Iranian agent Hezbollah took our hostage in 82 and continues to try to take over the Lebanese government today, well, then Reagan gave money and arms to Iran. But largely we stayed out. And after 1 million people died, and finally virtually every man of a certain age was dead, the war ended in a truce of some sort. Why do I bring up the Iraqi-Iran War of 1982? Because I think that's coming, my friends. It may already be here. We are in a civil war. It will get worse. And let me be clear, it's going to get worse when we leave. I'm not going to try to deny it. I'm not going to claim it's all going to be roses. I'm not going to do that. Dick Cheney claimed that, remember? Claimed it would all be roses when we came in. I'm not going to claim it'll all be roses when we leave. I want to give a very honest, clear portrayal of what's going on in Iraq. There is no good solution. But what I want to talk about this hour is the least bad solution. What can be done in Iraq? At this point, the Republicans are kind of sitting back with a barely stifled smile saying, all right, we broke it. Democrats, you bought it. You know, of course, what I'm referring to, Colin Powell saying in the old Pottery Barn example, though apparently Pottery Barn doesn't do this, but He told George Bush, if you break Iraq, you bought it. Well, the Republicans broke Iraq, didn't know how to fix it, and the Americans elected the Democrats. And the Republicans say, ha, 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 we've destroyed Iraq. How would you fix it, Democrats? I've likened it to my analogy of the guy that slams baseball bats into hundreds of beehives, and when the bees come out to attack, he says, I don't know what to do. You solve the problem. Well, I'm going to try this hour to solve the problem. I'm not going to pretend it's easy. I'm not going to pretend there are no bad consequences from the ideas I propose. I'm trying to look at this with a very clear eye, an eye to future costs and future goals, future benefits. One of the worst ways to approach the Iraq war would be to approach it as some, well, we could call them neocons, but in this day, I guess they were paleocons, as some people approach the war in Vietnam. There were those who said in 1968, in 1972, 50,000 Americans have died in Vietnam, we can't possibly leave. Otherwise, they'll have died in vain. What a bad argument that is. What a lousy argument that is. You know, I studied economics at Harvard. I have a degree in it. Graduated with honors. High honors, actually. And one of the first things they tell you is in making an economic decision, don't cry over lost money. If you have put $1 million in a bad business venture that has no hope of going anywhere, the worst thing you can possibly do is put another million in it because, well, if you don't, you'll feel bad about the first million you lost. That's a great way to turn a $1 million loss into a $2 million loss. It's even worse with American lives. 3,000 Americans are now dead in Iraq. As a way of comparison, remember 3,000 Americans were killed on September 11th. Thank you, George Bush. You've just doubled the death toll. Of course, in many ways, Iraq is far worse than September 11th. After all, 20,000 Americans are wounded. And I mean seriously wounded. Loss of legs, loss of arms, post-traumatic stress syndrome for hundreds of thousands. And please, let's not forget the Iraqi people. A bare minimum of 50,000 of them are dead. Some surveys say as high as 600,000. It's hard to tell, given 1 million have lost the country. The best estimate is it's about 150,000. So the Iraqis have lost 50 times the people we lost on September 11th, and the country is one-tenth the size of America. Their burdens are 500 times as large as ours. $500 billion lost forever in Iraq. Most of it going to groups like Al-Qaeda and Iran, who are using our money to kill our soldiers. Well, not just to kill our soldiers, to kill each other as well. The two greatest enemies of the United States, with the possible exception of North Korea, are Al-Qaeda and Iran. The two most dangerous places on earth, the two most dangerous actors on earth, again, possible exception of North Korea, are Al-Qaeda and Iran. George Bush has done more to help Al-Qaeda and Iran than either Osama bin Laden or President Ahmadinejad could ever have dreamed. And I'm not giving you some facile thing like when Bush said in October before the election, oh, if the Democrats win, the terrorists win, and America loses. The kind of thing he did to try to scare voters to vote Republican. No, I'm being serious here. I'm just trying to give out the facts. I'm not saying that Bush intentionally tried to help the terrorists win and to help America lose. No, I'm not going to say that. Some of you might. I wouldn't say it. He incompetently allowed the terrorists to win and America to lose. And we know this because the Sunnis in Iraq, even the secular Sunnis that hate Al-Qaeda, are having to turn to Al-Qaeda for protection. The Shiites, knowing that, we can't be trusted, they're turning to the Iranians. Our enemies have more power now than ever before. Thank you, George Bush. And even if you compare under Saddam Hussein, well, the Iraqis were better off under Saddam Hussein. I mean, when 150,000 Iraqis have been killed in 4 years, less than 4 years, a little more than 4 years, that's worse than any record Saddam Hussein managed to do. So Iraq is a colossal mess. Let's face it. Let's not hide the truth. Iraq is a colossal mess. It has gone on longer than World War II. It is a civil war. And we're in the midst of the gunfire. So what is the way out? Again, as a Democrat, I could just throw up my hands and say, you know what? You broke it, Bush. You bought it. But I'm not a Democrat first. I'm an American first. I take that back. I'm an American second. I'm a human being first. We've got to do something. If Bush and Cheney and all the neocons have no idea what to do, I'm willing to give a solution. It's not really a solution. Let's just call it a least bad of all options. I'm willing to tell you my ideas, my plan for Iraq, and I'm hoping you'll do the same. When we come back, I want to give you my suggestions for a resolution, a least bad resolution in Iraq, and I want to hear your suggestions as well. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's work together and find a way out of Iraq. We'll be right back with that after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
from Washington. More of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I've discussed the problems in Iraq. I think we all know they're there. I don't know that we realize quite how horrific it is, though. Part of the reason is because we used to have 700 journalists embedded in Iraq. You know how many are left now? 11. 99% of the journalists have left Iraq. It's just too dangerous for them. Frankly, it's not even on the front pages so much anymore. It's, you know, war is so much more fun when you're winning than when you're basically sitting there in the crossfire of Shiites and Sunnis. Okay, so Iran, Al-Qaeda, our greatest enemies, are taking over in Iraq. We got a major league civil war. What's the answer? In my view, the answer is to look back at history, to remind ourselves what happened in 1982, to recognize that when we leave, it will be a bloody, deadly civil war, and to leave anyway. Sorry, Iraq. But at some point, the hatred that was underneath the surface, that was barely contained by a dictator, whether in Iraq or Yugoslavia, it's going to happen. Eventually, Iraq will be partitioned into the countries that it probably should have been from the beginning, before Great Britain designed those awful straight boundaries that only a European power carving up colonial lands can do. The war will happen. It's not a question of it. It's already happening. The only question is when. So what's my answer? My answer is to salvage what you can and cry for what you can't. What is salvageable? I think what is salvageable is something that I've been supporting for close to 20 years now, ever since I first learned the situation in Iraq, certainly since the Persian Gulf War. What is salvageable is an independent Kurdistan. Do you know who the Kurds are? They're in the north of Iraq. They're democratic. They're fairly nonviolent, except for when they're fighting against others who are trying to conquer them. They are not Arabs. They're not Muslims. They have they're a different people with a different religion. They used to have a whole bunch of territory in Syria and Turkey and parts of what is today Azerbaijan and Armenia and Iran. They don't have an independent state today, and I believe that the only way a people can protect itself, a people with a separate culture, a separate religion, is to have an independent state. I support an independent Kurdistan. Kurdistan is not, by the way, where you see the horrors that are going on in Iraq, except on its border. There's some wars in Kirkuk between the Arabs and the Kurds there. Everyone's fighting for boundaries. But this is a state that's relatively pro-American, surprisingly so for the region. It's also got a significant amount of oil. It's also significantly democratic and secular. I'd be willing to fight for an independent Kurdistan. Here's the Mark Levine plan. We go on the road to recognition of an independent Kurdistan. Now, Turkey won't be happy with that. They're afraid that the Kurds will then invade the eastern half of Turkey, which is primarily Kurd. I think, though, we can get Turkey to agree. I've argued this for years. That I think in exchange for an independent Kurdistan, the Kurds will be happy to forswear forever any territorial designs on what is today Turkey. And in return, Turkey can recognize the independent Kurdistan. It'll take some talking, some pushing. I think we can get that. Another reason we need an independent Kurdistan is because those brave Iraqis that actually cooperate with American troops are going to be the first ones in danger. Before the Sunnis, led by Al-Qaeda and the Shiites led by Iran set apart massacring each other and dividing up a bloody line of demarcation between Shiistan and Sunnistan, they'll kill the Iraqis that supported America first. I think it's part of supporting independent Kurdistan. We have to require them or get them to commit to allowing a certain number of refugees so that the people who helped our American troops aren't brutally massacred. I'd have a hard time watching that. Some of that happened in Vietnam. They would have a refuge in the north of Iraq. Sure, they'd have to leave their homes. Better that than being massacred. You know, when India and Pakistan split apart tens of millions of people switched homes so that the Hindus would be in India and the Muslims in Pakistan. India and Pakistan are certainly not friendly to each other now, but most of the war between them has gone down. Yes, Shias and Sunnis will divide Iraq in a bloody way. There will be another civil war, but American troops will go home. But what about Iran? What about Al-Qaeda? What about these deadly, awful enemies to America and the world? Well, here's the cute part, folks. They'll be killing each other. Al-Qaeda is Sunni. Iran is Shiite. Instead of Iran taking Hezbollah to take over Lebanon and planting nuclear weapons to attack Israel, instead of Al-Qaeda focusing on bombing American ports, they can focus on killing each other. I'm not saying the killing is good, but if I have two people bent on killing me, I'd rather they be bent on killing each other. Didn't say it was a pleasant solution, folks, but I think it is a realistic one. Support an independent, democratic, and oil-rich Kurdistan. Let the Shiites and the Sunnis kill each other. And maybe, just maybe, the Iraqis themselves will recognize, eventually, that the civil war doesn't do any good. So I recommend one more thing before our troops leave. I recommend a grand conference. Let's give everybody one last chance. We invite everyone in the room. Everyone in the room. Shiites, Sunnis, Syria, Iran, Turkey, the Kurds. Let them talk it out. Let them try to agree. But set a deadline. We'll be gone in 3 to 6 months. If the Iraqis work it out, bless them. I hope they do. If they don't, well, I'm afraid it's their country. It's not ours. Frankly, I think Saudi Arabia may come in to help the Sunnis. And that's okay. They are a minority. One thing we might want to do, as Bill Clinton did, in fact, between the Israelis and the Palestinians, is we might want to divide a line. Here's the line we think is the fairest line, just as Clinton did. Now, of course, in that case, the Israelis accepted it. The Palestinians didn't. They chose war. And, of course, they continue to live in war today. That was their choice. But at least one can't feel sorry for the Palestinians. They chose war. They got war. They should have accepted the 97% of the West Bank and 100% of Gaza that Clinton offered them. The same will be true in Iraq. The Sunnis and the Shiites can accept the borders or they can reject them. If they reject them, they'll fight. They'll die. And eventually they'll come down to some demarcation. We'll be out of there. I recognize this isn't a pleasant answer. I do think, though, it's a realistic one. I do think it is a likely one. And I think it's about the only way we can salvage anything good, and that good being an independent Kurdistan, out of what is now a nightmare. But if you have a different idea, you have a different solution, you think I'm dead wrong on this, you want to stay the course, you want more troops like John McCain, you want to leave everyone immediately, you don't like an independent Kurdistan, whatever your views, let me hear them. I'm all ears because I don't have any easy answers. I know at least I got one phone call. I'll get to you in just a moment. Right after this break, folks, call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I've given my proposal for an answer in Iraq. It's not a pretty one, but hey, if you got a better one, let me hear from you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. If you're listening to the archive, you want to post it on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. I want to hear from you. Basically, the sum and substance of my proposal is this. We act to preserve the balance of power. If you study European politics in the 1800s and you study Metternich and others, and I have some knowledge of this history, the goal at the time for England and for other countries was preserve the balance of power. Don't allow any one country to become too powerful. Iran is a threat. Al-Qaeda is a threat. Let them fight each other. Saudi Arabia, let them come in. Let them provide. They got tons of money. Frankly, I'd much rather our oil money go into Saudi Arabia, go to fund job programs and contractors to rebuild Iraq, than funding Al-Qaeda terrorists. Let's preserve the balance of power as much as possible. Yes, they'll probably end up being a Shiite state, a Sunni state. There are no good guys in the region, with one exception. I think the Kurds are the good guys, and I'm willing to keep some American troops in Kurdistan to protect that state. Frankly, I think they'll probably do okay just with force of arms. And I'm not saying allow the terrorists to run free. I do fear an Al-Qaeda haven in Iraq. And so I think we can withdraw troops to Kurdistan, to Kuwait, to Saudi Arabia. And if we see exporting terrorist threats, we go after them. There's nothing wrong with sending a few cruise missiles, a la Bill Clinton, to bomb terrorist training camps, or to attack even recreations of weapons of mass destruction. We contained Iraq before. We can do it again. It'll be a lot harder now. But we don't need the troops there. Let's get out, preserve the balance of power, try to get the Saudis involved in a constructive way, let Iran and Al-Qaeda fight each other, give the Iraqis one last chance to meet around a table to try to resolve their issues. If they can, it's a miracle. If they can't, well, they had one last try. And bring our troops home. 888-488-MARK. Let's go to Dave in Northern California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. I'd like to spell out for you, if I might, some what I believe are conclusive facts that I weigh in my decision. And the first one is that these invasions in the Middle East were planned for years. That's fact one. And two, it was all lies that brought us into these invasions. All lies. None of it checked out to be true. Three, there is nothing noble about our involvement there. We are doing nothing useful and nothing honorable. And four, this war is very, very profitable for a select few. That's a fact I'm concluding.
Dave, I strongly agree with one, two, three, and four. Okay? We're on complete agreement here. Everything you've said, I'm on board. But everything you've said, of course, talks about the present and the past. My question, it's a much more difficult question, I think, than the president past, is what's the future? All right, someone elects you president, Dave. What's your plan out of Iraq?
Well, there was two more things I think you need to consider in what my thinking is, and that is that that our troops over there have done some terrible things. Not all of them, I'm sure. Most of them are really good guys, but there has been torture, there has been rape, there has been murder of families, and the people of our...
And I do think, I mean, just, I do think that's a small minority of our troops.
Yes,
I just want to make that absolutely clear.
It
happened, but I would venture to say it's, you know, less than 1%. But go ahead, make your point.
Yeah, we've also wiped out whole towns, though, and... Anyway, the Iraqi people do not, for the most part, like having invaders in their country. And so,
no question. Except the Kurds, by the way. They are the exception. They support us there. The others don't. No question.
Well, I would say that our smart move is to say, see, it's the people that, what's holding us there, as I see it, is the profits for these cons, this Carlyle group that wants so much greed. But if we
two
were
things,
to
Dave,
do the
profits and I was going to say profits and pride. Profits are keeping him there for Halliburton and Carlyle and so forth, but also pride. Bush doesn't want to admit he was wrong. And because of that, more Americans and Iraqis are dying. But
so
go ahead, make your point.
If there was, if I were the president, my decision would be to hand this over to the United Nations if there's a need for a peacekeeping thing, but I would withdraw right now and make them give back all the money they've stolen from our treasury.
How do you make them give it back?
Well, if we
have, I mean, that sounds great, but, you know, we have $9 billion. They don't even know where it is, Dave. They don't even know where it is.
Well, have to check their pockets.
You know, it's really it's really hard to misplace $9 billion. I mean, I don't know how many $100 bills that is, but you can't put it all in a trunk. they should check their pockets. I think a lot of them did go to places like Halliburton, but a lot of it went to Al-Qaeda, went to Iran, went to just, you know, Iraqis that are now living high on the hog in Paris. I saw a 60 Minutes episode just recently about someone who was in the Iraqi government and took just a few hundred million and left and is now doing just fine in Europe. I don't know that we can get the money back, Dave. You know, I wish we could, but other than...
My decision definitely would be to pull out as soon as we possibly can. And if there is a need for peacekeeping troops, that is the reason for which we have a United Nations. That is not the burden of any one power-mongering country on this planet.
True, but I have to tell you, I don't think the United Nations would do it. I don't think they'd send troops there because they'd be right in the middle of a violent war and the troops would just end up being killed. I don't mind proposing. You know, it's a decent idea, Dave. I don't mind bringing it to the United Nations, suggesting it to them, seeing if they want to do that. They'll probably want a U.S. contingent in it, though, and I don't want to send more Americans back there. And I mean, look at it this way: Poland has left, Italy's left. The only nation left is Britain, and they're going to be out by 2007. Who's going to be in this contingent? I don't think any nation in the world wants to send people there, except the nations in the region. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Syria, Iran. They want to have troops there, but for their own political reasons. And, you know, sometimes you just... I mean, look, obviously the best solution would be if we never invaded, if Saddam Hussein was still in power as a weak dictator. That's the best solution. But we don't have that chance anymore. And I agree with you. Invite the United Nations in, but I don't think anything will come of it. I just don't see any country. Can you see Norway sending troops there, or Canada, or France, or Brazil, or Australia, or I just don't see it.
If it were a legitimate peacekeeping effort as opposed to robbing the treasury of the United States, they might look more favorably on the idea.
But it's not, because there's no peace to keep. You know, it's one thing if you've calmed down the flames of war. You know, maybe if we'd done this 3 years ago, that could have succeeded. Today, they're in a civil war, and you know, I think the best thing we can do, as I've said, do what Bill Clinton did in Israel, draw some lines, you know, and say, here's our suggestion, and then leave. And if they follow the lines, then maybe they won't be, you know, massive deaths, and if they don't, there will be, but we can't stop it. It's their war to fight. And the only thing I think we can do, and I don't know if you agree with me about Kurdistan, I do think that we can salvage that. This is a mini state that's basically been more or less independent, even under Saddam Hussein, ever since the Persian Gulf War, because we had the no-fly zones. And these people have managed to make a decent state of it, and I think they should be allowed to continue to do that. So,
well, I like your thinking, Mark, but I think we caused the rest of the Iraqi people to have a common enemy, I think the killing would diminish if we weren't there. That's my honest best guess.
You know, it may. It may. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I said leave in 3 to 6 months. I don't know that we could even get out much faster than that. But again, one less session with everyone buttoning their heads together, knowing we're leaving. If it would resolve anything, I don't know. But I don't know that our point of view is too different. That's about all I have for today. Folks, if you want to give your own opinion, let's get the thoughts going. Maybe you've thought of something I haven't. That's terrific. Maybe you completely disagree with me. Let me know. Just post on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Thanks for your call, Dave. Tomorrow, we're going back to the question of Israel. There was a lot of debate on the blog and elsewhere about my show a couple of weeks back, talking about the suicide bombers and the tactics of using ambulances as weapons and so forth that the Palestinian leadership is using. And I came down pretty hard on the Palestinian government, saying that if they don't want peace, they shouldn't get peace. A lot of you felt I was wrong. A lot of you attacked Israel. One of those people, a guy who wrote in by the name of Joe, a listener, is coming on the show to debate me. I invited him because I want to hear what he has to say, and I want to have the kind of discussion we can only have here on the Inside Scoop. If you want to join in the debate, I welcome your presence. Feel free to disagree with me. Just don't call me names. I won't call you names. Just tell me my ideas are full of it. Heck, free debate. That's what the Inside Scoop is all about. Tune in tomorrow for the show Israel Redux. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yeah. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show, proud member of the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I think we've got a good show in store for you. Well, we're going to talk. That's what we always do, isn't it? A little talk, a little music, a little fun, a little frivolity, and all that sort of stuff. Hey, it's a great day here in Southwest Florida. Hope it's nice where you are as well. think we had a little rain last night. I don't know. Anyway, it is good to have all of you along with us today. I see we got a nice audience already. That's always good to know. And no matter where you're at, I wish you'd shoot me an email. Let me know where you're listening from. GuyJames@theGuyJamesShow.com. I'd love to hear from you. Just shoot us a quick email. Let us know whether you're in Podunk, Utah, or Monkey Junction, North Carolina. I don't care. There actually is a place, Monkey Junction, North Carolina. It's up by Wilmington, near Carolina Beach. Between Wilmington and Carolina Beach, I should say. Yeah. Now, see, there was this guy that had a gas station, and he had a monkey. Well, never mind. I won't get into the whole story, but it's cute. Anyway, we are glad to have you along with us. We hope you'll give us a call. Join in on the conversation today, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Would love to hear your comments on just any old thing in current events right now. We've got a lot of current events going on. We've got Mr. Bush over in, where's he at by now? Is he in Jordan yet? I think he is. I think he's in Jordan. He had his meeting postponed today, the meeting with Maliki. And I think that's an odd situation, really odd today. They announced it just, I don't know, what was it, an hour ago, 2 hours ago, that Bush's meeting today with Maliki was postponed until tomorrow. And I really have to wonder what that means, because as you well know, scheduled summit meetings, if you want to call this a summit meeting between Bush and Maliki, a couple of dandies there. But really, summit meetings between heads of state usually aren't postponed on such short notice, unless one of them's really ill or something. But I think something big's about to go down over there. I just think there's an odd feeling about the whole deal when they canceled that with that Hadley memo is out in the open now, and I think they intentionally got that out there so that Maliki would be, so he'd be forewarned what's coming. Looks like we're going to pull our support from him, is what I think. I think Bush will. But it really does look like the wheels are about to come off the Iraqi government, or the occupation, call it whatever you want to call it there. It's about to get a whole lot worse either way. And the thing is, will Muqtada al-Sadr end up being the prime minister or running the show over there? How about Ahmed Shalabi? Will he end up in the Iraqi government? He certainly tried hard enough to get there in the government. Oh, having another one of those days with a ticklish throat. Hey, do call us, 866-546-5254. We've been talking an awful lot about the Iraq war lately and all, and American politics and what's happened since the election. We've now been, 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks since in one day since the election. And looks like the Democrats are getting things in order. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm kind of glad that the Intelligence Committee will not be headed up by Ousty Hastings or Jane Harmon. I think that's a good move by Nancy Pelosi. I've got